T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The ultimate pro basketball preview, presented by Odyssey and Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022, presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. This 6-episode series will answer all of your lingering questions about the NBA season. Each episode, we will feature a Locked On roundtable with local experts covering their team every day. Nothing But Bets, our betting segment with Matt Moore, talking about the best bets for each of these teams. NBA expert Trista Crick will join us from the Heat Check podcast. Fantasy expert Josh Lloyd from Locked On Fantasy Basketball will join us as well. And then the voice of NBA draft analysis and Locked On NBA Big Board host Rafael Barlow will tell you the players that your team is probably tanking for this year. I'm your host, Nick Engstead, daily host of the Locked On NBA and Locked On Mavs. But for this series, I will be your host as we visit with over 30 different experts to get you ready for the NBA season ahead. Today, it's time for the tankers. Bring them on. Orlando Magic, San Antonio Spurs, Oklahoma City Thunder, Houston Rockets, and the Utah Jazz? Yes? No? We'll hear very different answers throughout this one. Here's Trista Crick of Odyssey's Heat Check podcast on whether or not tanking still works in the NBA and if there's a path out for any of these teams.
Yeah, I think tanking absolutely still works and it's still going to continue to persist, right? The lottery system changes it. Of course, it makes it a little bit harder to just blatantly tank and get the guy that you want. But as long as there are these perennial or sort of like transcendent generational talents out there, which they will exist, Victor Wembanyama being one of them, Scoot Henderson being one of them, like if you can get him and you're not contending, then what are you doing with your life if not tanking, right? Like that's the only option. You're either contending or you're tanking. And it's very difficult to be one of those in-between teams. As a Portland Trailblazer fan, I know how that feels. It feels like going absolutely nowhere, right? The team that gets Victor Wembanyama is going to change their franchise for 15 years, right? If he works out to be who we think he's going to be, that's enough of a reward to take the risk of sort of destroying your franchise for the short term, right? And then in terms of like what the path out is, there really isn't one, right? Like as long as Victor's on the board, there's no path out, especially for teams like Utah. Utah stacking up picks into perpetuity, just like Oklahoma City Thunder. Like that's Sam Presti's mindset. It's like, I'll take picks till 2099, until my son's son is running this team, right? And Oklahoma City Thunder, the only real, I guess, group that could potentially be out of the tanking conversation this year. But again, like if you could imagine a scenario with Victor Wembanyama and Chet on it, I don't even know how you could guard them. The reward, again, is still enough to take the risk, especially considering Shea seems very committed to being on this team. He's not going to ask out. Josh Giddey's still very young. You're shutting Chet down for the year. You've got some other young guns in the two Jalens, right? You don't know what they are going to be, but I think they're the only group you could say is very close to being a play-in team, but they can always decide to tank at the very last minute like they did last year. And that's proven to be very successful, fruitful, and sort of flexible for Oklahoma City. So I don't see a path out for really any of them.
Welcome into the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview. This is the Locked On Roundtable. We're joined by hosts of Locked On shows covering their team every single day, 5 days a week on their own individual channels. Joining us from Oklahoma City, we have
Rylan Stiles, host of Locked On Thunder.
Joining us from Wet and Wild Orlando,
Philip Rossman-Reich, the host of Locked On Magic.
Down in Houston, we have
Jackson Gatlin, host of Locked On Rockets.
And all the way out in Utah, the only host that protested being part of this group we're calling the Tankers, in quotes.
David Locke, host of Locked On Jazz, with a roster that, as currently constructed, would make the play-in game.
The play-in game in the West.
We all believe that in October, man. We all believe that in October.
There are 30 championship teams right now, Rockets included, surprisingly. We're fresh out 29. Of Media Day, so of course.
Everyone can talk themselves into a team on Media Day. But let's start with this, everybody. So we're here in this group we're calling the Tankers. We'll put it in quotes for David. It's just the bottom of the NBA. And we know that Victor Wembanyama is the number one.
You think Tony East is looking, host of Locked On Pacers, is looking at his Snapchat location, seeing all of us in the same place and feeling like he's left out like a teenage girl who didn't get invited to the party?
I think we need to call out Jeff Garcia of Locked On Spurs for ducking us, since his team is a tanking for the first time in 25 years.
Yeah, he's still in denial about it, okay? Like, he hasn't embraced the tank quite just yet. Like one of our other co-workers here in this show, I will say.
And Koo over at the Locked On Pistons believes they've progressed out of this with the Bojan Bogdanović trade.
Potentially, maybe just the Cade Cunningham
rise. It's a wedding gift.
At least if you have Cade Cunningham and Tyrese Halliburton, you're moving forward in some direction. But let's start with this. Is tanking still a viable method, or is that even what your team is trying to do right now? Ryland Stiles, we can start with you, host of Locked On Thunder. Are the Thunder still tanking? Is that where we still are? And does it work?
Yeah, so number one, the Thunder are still tanking, and as you mentioned before, tanking really only happens like after the All-Star break, so that's kind of when you're going to see it happen. Obviously, things got derailed a bit with Chet Holmgren going down. Their number two overall pick from the 2022 draft class was supposed to help them kind of inch out of this phase, but he's out for the whole season. So yeah, they're still going to be at the bottom of the barrel in the Western Conference. Let's see how many teams they think can finish ahead of, but it will by no means be a play-in opportunity for the Thunder. But does tanking work? I think it's an absolute yes, especially in the circumstances that Oklahoma City finds themselves in. The Thunder have already done this. They've drafted at the top of the draft three straight times. They got Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden. And even with that core, they never could even sign a competent role player to help build that championship roster out. So they can't get free agents at the top or the bottom of their roster. And when you look at the draft, it's only getting deeper with talent as the NBA gets more popular and basketball as a whole gets global and more popular. The drafts are deeper. Haven't even included high school prospects back into the mix yet, which might happen sometime in the future with the new CBA. The drafts are getting deeper. There's more talent than ever in basketball right now, even before we expand the league. I think that it works whenever you look at it through that lens of the talent pool getting bigger. And in small markets, it's your only path to getting a generational talent or to getting an all-star, much less a superstar. Plus, one of the biggest examples of failure is the Philadelphia 76ers, because they haven't won anything yet. But you draft a different guy than Markelle Fultz. You know, you draft Jason Tatum and you have Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and Jason Tatum. That team's going to win a championship, and it might be a dynasty in the making in Philadelphia. So you look at it with the Thunder, you have all these future first-round picks, historic draft capital, and you have a top five, I argue number one, GM in the sport in Sam Presti to make that decision, who's already instilled the winning culture and has such a great culture that it's talked about by former players over time. And also, it's just proven to be a really good culture in winning. There's only been 2 years of tanking for the Thunder since moving to OKC. So I think that
number
this
one GM of all time who traded James Harden instead of Russell Westbrook. Okay, go ahead.
He's been talking to Nick Collison, I think, a little bit too much, is what Ryland Stiles has probably been doing. David Locke, you're the one host that didn't want to be in this group. You don't think that the Jazz are tanking. You don't think that that's what that Danny Ainge and, you know, the Jazz are trying to do. You think that they can be a playing team? Sell us on it, because I'm not sold.
So, I mean, I think let's discuss the first question that I think Ryland actually addressed some of the points here, and Philip might have a different perspective, considering the fact that Orlando has been doing what they're doing for a decade and some in Matt George have locked on Kings, so we can have 30 years of what the Kings are doing. I think that what the Philadelphia 76ers did was tank 1.0. And what we've seen the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Houston Rockets begin to do is what I would call tank 2.0. And I think if the Utah Jazz are doing this, this is the next variation. And so here are the things. What Philadelphia did is they went to rock bottom and they just drafted. That was it. What Oklahoma City and Houston did is they traded a star, acquired a ton of picks, and lost games, so they have their own picks and the acquired picks. What Danny Ainge did in the offseason, and this is why everyone assumes the Jazz are tanking. I'm just saying, as the roster is constructed, I was at practice today, as the roster is constructed right now, this team's not tanking. Like, that's too good a team. Now, whether that's what that team is at the end, I'm not sure. But what the Jazz have done is, let's say they now drop into where they're acquiring their own draft talent. Then in 2027 and 2028 and 2029, they have other people's picks. So as they move forward, then they're going to have a chance to draft great draft picks and get better. To the Ryland Stiles point, that the problem the Thunder had is they couldn't acquire, once they got good, they had no mechanism by which to acquire talent. It's the same thing that happened to Philadelphia, is once they got good enough to get out of their draft picks, they had no system by which to get new talent. So what Danny Ainge has set up is a elongated play here into 2027, 2028, and 2029, where if the Jazz at that point have enough talent to win 45 games, they're also going to be drafting whoever Cleveland and Minnesota's picks would yield. And Cleveland and Minnesota, by the way, are not free agent destinations. I don't know if you know that, but nobody wants to go to Cleveland or Minnesota. So if something goes wrong for either of those teams, the Jazz are in a pretty good position.
Jackson Gatlin of Locked On Rockets, do you buy that that's what they're trying to do? Are they doing a tank 2.0 down in Houston still, or is it something different now that they've drafted for a couple years here?
I don't know if you can necessarily call maybe that distinction works, the tank 2.0. I do think there is something to be said for, right, you've had organizations before who have had, you know, a star player who wants out, or their marquee player wants out, and organizations try to keep grasping at straws, right, to stay relevant. And that was very much something that was on the table for the Houston Rockets less than two calendar years ago, thanks to the late start NBA season a couple seasons back due to COVID and everything. James Harden was a Houston Rocket less than two years ago. And when the Rockets were forced to ultimately deal James Harden after he wanted out from Houston, he threw his fit, he was done with the Houston Rockets franchise and wanted to be a Brooklyn Net, the Rockets dealt him, and they had this core of John Wall and Victor Oladipo and Christian Wood, and they could have stuck, you know, dug their heels into the ground and stuck with that. And they could have said, yo, we're gonna fight and claw and be scrappy and try to be this like ragtag play-in team who's like an eighth or ninth seed at best in the Western Conference. And that would have been horrendous, because the one place you don't want to be in the NBA is you do not want to be in NBA limbo, which to me is the teams that are very much stuck in like that, I don't know, 15 to like 22 range, where you're pretty much play-in bound, or you're, you know, a lock to just miss the play-in. And in the Rockets' case, they didn't even own their own draft pick outright. It was that year owed to the Oklahoma City Thunder if it fell outside of the top four of that year's draft. And so they did what Ryland Stiles alluded to earlier, right? Tanking in the back half of the season. They bottomed out. They played horrendous basketball. They shut down certain players, and they managed to bottom out and be the worst team in the association that year and retain control of their draft pick. So from that standpoint, I think the Rockets did the best thing you could possibly do when you have a star player ask out, is they reap the benefits of a nice little draft haul from the Brooklyn Nets, effectively owning the Brooklyn Nets draft capital all the way through 2027. And then they recouped, they held onto that draft pick that year, drafted a young franchise cornerstone type talent in Jalen Green. And they basically did the exact same thing again this past season when they did have outright control of their pick, landing at the third overall selection and drafting Jabari Smith Jr., who looks to be a fantastic prospect. So I think when you look at the NBA, right, you're building a team. There are three ways to do it. You can do it via trade, you can do it via free agency, or you can do it via the draft. And it does feel like the draft is possibly the most surefire way to get it done, because you can't really rely, unless you are one of the big marquee free agent destinations, you can't really rely on free agency. There's a lot of teams that miss out on big free agents every single offseason. And then trading, you know, you got to put yourself in position to be able to make a trade. And a lot of the teams here in this tankers group are in position to pounce the next time there is a disgruntled star who wants out from their location. The Jazz.
Then why Orlando did you not try to go get Donovan Mitchell? You know, there was not a team that I thought should have made a bigger deal for Donovan Mitchell than the Orlando Magic.
I think to all the points that are being made here, you know, that's absolutely right. It's about being in position to go make that big move. And David, you're absolutely right. I thought the Orlando Magic were in a good position to go get Donovan Mitchell, but I think the one part of the puzzle that's been missing throughout this whole conversation, you know, we talk about kind of the mechanics of why teams decide to bottom out, how teams position themselves for the future. The last part that's missing is the culture part. You know, Ryland talked a little bit about it, but, you know, being here in Orlando, we, you know, the way teams rebuilt, or the kind of mode that teams rebuilt when the Magic traded Dwight Howard 10 years ago was go get some nice young players, get a few draft picks, bottom out and use your own picks to get good. And the Magic's plan was very much similar to what Oklahoma City's plan was and how they built the Durant, Westbrook, Harden group. In fact, I think the Magic even had the same picks, two, three, four, and five that got Durant, Harden, and Westbrook. But they ended up with Victor Oladipo, Aaron Gordon, and Mario Hezonja. A little bit different. And that's why I think tanking to me, just going all out in hopes of getting the number one pick, even if it ends up being the fourth or fifth pick, to me, I have never been a proponent of tanking. And I'll get back to the Donovan Mitchell thing here in a minute. I've never been a proponent of tanking because, A, it didn't work in Orlando because you still have to end up drafting the best players. You know, David can tell you, Donovan Mitchell should not have been the 15th pick in that draft. There are always good players throughout the draft. Giannis was picked, you know, Giannis is a special talent, obviously, but Giannis was picked 15th. My favorite little stat nugget that I love throwing at fans who are just like, oh, we got to tank is there have only been three players that have been drafted first overall that won the championship with the team that drafted them since 1997. That's Tim Duncan in 1997. Obviously just a very special person. We miss you, Jeff. Jeff Garcia of Locked On Spurs. And the other two are Kyrie Irving and LeBron James, who left and came back to Cleveland. That was my mic. Those are the only
literally dropped his mic on that.
Literally dropped my mic on that one. That there are literally only three players drafted number one overall since 1997 that have won a title with the team that originally drafted them. There's a lot of number one picks that have won titles. You know, obviously LeBron's won titles different places. Anthony Davis won a title in Los Angeles. But to me, it can't just be about the number one overall pick. It's got to be about the whole team. And so circling all the way back around to my original point that I want to make here, it's got to be about the culture and building a culture of winning and building a culture that is focused on winning and doing the right things. And so, David, to your point.
Here's what I don't buy.
like, you know what culture is?
Winning.
Giannis.
Yeah. David,
like Luka might be culture in Dallas.
To that point,
Steph Curry's culture.
Exactly. But to that point, then this Magic roster is just so young and so inexperienced and hasn't really done anything. I always had the feeling that you bring in a guy like Don Mitchell, who he immediately raises the bar. Like he would be a culture setter for this team. But is that Magic team, this current roster, ready to do their part to lift him up? And the minute you make that trade, the minute you make that star trade, your clock is ticking. You have Donovan Mitchell has 4 years left on his deal. You have 4 years to be a championship contender, not just a good team, a championship contender, or you're going to lose him. And you're going to, and all those draft assets, we saw how much it cost to be in business with the Jazz this offseason. You lose all that future capital. And if your team's not ready, then you're gonna fall flat on your face. So it might be a fun 4 years, but then you go back through the ringer again. To me, the Magic are maybe a year or two away from doing that. But you're right, absolutely right. They are a team that would have been absolutely in the right position to make that kind of a move. And I think all of our teams would say that's the kind of move that our teams want to make when they're ready. And so it's about kind of building that talent base up to get yourself there. And so, to me. You know, maybe I'm just a little too conservative on that. To me, the Magic weren't quite ready to do that. And you know, Jeff Weltman, the Magic's president of basketball operations, the guy who's in charge of putting the team together, has said, you know, we're not looking to cut corners here. We're not looking to skip steps. They believe in the group they have. They want to kind of build a little bit with the group they have, see what they really have, and then go out and make that next step. Because if there's one truth about the NBA, and I had a lot of Magic fans say, this is the guy that's on our timeline. He's cost controlled for a long time. There's one truth about the NBA. There's always another star that wants out. That's the reality of the league. And you know, Cleveland was in a great, you know, Cleveland was ready to take that step. And I think they made the right move to go after Donovan Mitchell and turn their play-in team into a potential contender in the Eastern Conference.
And how do you plan on getting your roster ready, if not to tank, with the way the NBA's currently constructed. Because the Thunder don't have to tank. They could play out this whole season as healthy as they can get and get the seventh pick or eighth pick. Last year, that got you A.J. Griffin. So I ask you, would you rather have A.J. Griffin or would you rather have Paolo Banchero right now? How else can you get your roster ready to turn the corner and make that big trade, make that all-in move? If you're not getting that high-end talent through the draft, where else can you get it in Orlando or Oklahoma City?
No, I agree completely. Like I've told a lot of fans, like I'm not for tanking. I'm not for I guess there's a difference between tanking and just being a bad young team. Like I always told people, like, look, the Magic don't need help being bad. They're a bad team. They're young. They're going to lose a lot of games. You hope that they're learning. You hope that they're growing. You hope that they're in an environment that's going to teach them what's important down the road. But to me, doing things purposefully to lose games or sabotaging the team itself, that's not going to help your team grow. And that's ultimately not going to help your team kind of take that next step. I mean, again, you look at this Magic franchise in particular. They traded Dwight Howard in 2012. They essentially tanked for 2 years to position themselves for that. What was it? Jahlil Okafor, Joel Embiid, Andrew Wiggins draft. They wanted a top three pick. Every single year, they ended up one pick away from getting that franchise guy. And it was total despondence in the franchise. They ended up picking some nice players. Aaron Gordon's a rotation player on a championship contender in Denver. Nikola Vucevic became an all-star guy that they got in the Dwight Howard trade. Victor Oladipo, before his injuries, was an all-star player in Indiana, was a great supporting player in Oklahoma City for that 1 year. Although they got plenty of talented players, but they always picked the wrong guy. They never picked the guy that could really elevate their team. And yes, it's easier to get that at the top of the draft, but I think it's also pretty clear that you can find that throughout the draft. And if you have a good development culture, if you have a good culture that does focus on the right things, especially a good coach, I think that's really where the NBA has changed a lot. There are a lot more good coaches and teams are making smarter coaching hires. If you have a good coach that can foster the right energy, then you take that next step.
What it feels like is there's just a lot of it boils down to timing and luck to a certain degree, because if you hit, right, maybe you hit 1 year and you've got that one really solid player, right? Maybe they're not a tier one superstar like a Luka or a Giannis or whoever, but they're all-star caliber. They're solid and they raise the floor of a team to a certain degree. But if you miss on some of the other picks, then you inadvertently find yourself in that limbo period where now you've got a player who's raising the floor of a team to a certain degree to where they're going to stack up some wins just by nature of them being just good enough to drag a team to some extra wins here and there. And then you miss out on your window to be bad enough to secure some of those top five picks and really have a chance at some of the top tier talent of the draft. And maybe the Thunder are maybe, in this position a little bit, right? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the best player on any of the teams currently listed here in the Tankers group. And just by virtue of being SGA, he may drag the Thunder to some extra wins. And there's a reason that he gets shut down with some of the season left to go, because the Thunder don't want those extra wins at this point. Because if they were to get those extra wins, then they wouldn't have the number two overall pick in Chet Holmgren on their roster currently. They would have been drafting, around 6 or 7 or 8. And at that point, you miss that finite window, that 2 to 3 year window, where you can realistically be one of the bottom five teams in the league and have a legitimate shot at accruing that top-end talent at the top of the draft. And then once you've been bad for a couple years, once you've been bad for a handful of seasons and really been bad, like full force been bad, then you can start taking the steps to trying to improve. Maybe you're looking at signing a big free agent. Maybe you make a splash and you trade for that disgruntled star as that young core is kind of coalescing and growing and becoming ready to actually compete at the NBA level.
Coming up, let's get into what the path is for these teams to get out of the bottom five or out of the tankers. Some may not think that they're in the tankers group, but what's your path out of the bottom five? And then players to watch for every single one of our Locked On hosts. Coming up, Rafael Barlow's missing piece. Who are the players these teams will be tanking for in next year's NBA draft? He's seen them all. The leading voice in NBA draft analysis is here to break down all of them.
2023 NBA draft class is loaded with talent, and I expect to see a lot of teams competing for the worst record to have an opportunity to select Francis Victor Wembanyama. Why? Because he is a 7'5" shot-blocking three-point prodigy that LeBron James has labeled an alien. Now, Scoot Henderson from the G League Ignite is not a bad consolation prize for the team that will be picking second. He's the epitome of your modern NBA guard with the perfect blend of size, strength, athleticism, scoring, and playmaking. Now, Orlando, San Antonio, and Oklahoma City are expected to be near the bottom of the standings, and I am anticipating some of the most creative tanking lineups in recent memory, which will help increase the ping pong balls on lottery night. Now let's start with San Antonio. The Spurs are actually my pick to finish with the absolute worst record in the NBA, giving them a great chance of landing Victor Wembanyama, who would be the ultimate prize, and give the Spurs fans hope that their days in the lottery, which is something that they're not used to, but give them hope that their days in the lottery are over after being a championship contender for what seemed like 25 years. The Spurs traded DeJounte Murray this offseason, so there is a need at point guard should R.C. Buford decide to shock the world and choose Scoot over Victor with the top pick. But that is if San Antonio wins the lottery. Orlando won last year's lottery and selected Duke's Paolo Banchero with the top pick. Banchero is my choice to win Rookie of the Year. But the Magic have a lot of young talent, but are still expected to have a very long season, which I'm guessing is going to be around 50 losses. And no matter who Orlando selects, there will be overlapping skill sets. They even have a poor man's Victor Wembanyama in Bol Bol. However, Baylor's Keontae George would be a good option if Orlando falls outside of the top five. He's a sweet shooting combo guard that will provide scoring punch and floor spacing for Banchero and Franz Wagner. But he'd be in a logjam at guard with Cole Anthony, Jalen Suggs, and Markelle Fultz. I mean, Orlando just has so many guys that play the same position, so many overlapping skill sets. Now, as far as the Houston Rockets, their fans have to be absolutely thrilled with their rebuild so far. Jalen Green looks to have superstar potential, and Alperen Şengün shows flashes as a rookie. Enough flashes that some people have compared him to Nikola Jokic. Then there's Jabari Smith and Tari Eason from the 2022 NBA draft class, and they have impressed. Even though it's a small sample size, they have been impressive in summer league and in preseason games. Now, if you add Wembanyama or Scoot, you add that to that mix, and that will immediately make Houston Rockets a league pass favorite and a fan favorite. But Amen Thompson from Overtime Elite could be a good fit in pairing next to Jalen Green. They would be exciting and potentially the most athletic backcourt ever. Villanova's Cam Whitmore would be a little bit redundant with Eason and Smith, but he would be in their projected draft range. But depending on Houston's plans for Kevin Porter Jr., I think Arkansas's Nick Smith would be the ideal fit if Houston falls outside of the top two.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Thank you for being here for another episode of the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022 presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. Before we continue with our roundtable discussion, here's Odyssey's Trista Crick of the Heat Check Podcast on which of these players from tanking teams you should be paying attention to.
To me, in this group, it's not close. And you could say, oh, you know, it's Paolo, right? And Paolo's the easy answer, let's be honest. Like, if you've never seen Paolo in person, which I'm sure all of you folks on the roundtable have, but it's like he was magnified 1.8 times the size of a normal human being, right? He's not like a stretched out Victor Wembanyama. He's, of course, a talent that's someone you have to watch. But someone that's under the radar for me has got to be Josh Giddey. Just a kid who's absolutely dazzled. He got shut down due to tanking, of course. I believe it was a hip injury. But he's a star. Like, he's got court vision that's impossible to replicate. He's a really elite scorer. He's working on his jump shot now from deep with the San Antonio Shot Doctor, which I think could really help him and SGA. Now that Chet is out, I think all eyes are going to be on him to have the ball. I think Giddey's going to have a much larger role now that we know what he can do. And before he got injured from November till February, he was the Western Rookie of the Month every single month. What's he going to do in year two? You saw what he did in the summer league. He's ready to absolutely ball. He's my number one player out of this group to watch and keep my eyes peeled on.
All right, welcome back to the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022, the Locked On NBA Roundtable. Hosts from Locked On NBA shows covering their teams 5 days a week on their own individual channels on YouTube and on the podcast. Let's talk about the path out. What's the path out of the basement, out of the tanking, out of the rebuilding, the tanking 2.0, what's the path out? Let's start with Jackson Gatlin. What do you think the Rockets' path is out of this whole situation?
Well, the Rockets find themselves in a position where they only have control of their own draft capital for one more season. It's this year. So as far as timelines are concerned, they can be bad for one more season and have a legitimate shot at picking up another top-end talent in this year's NBA draft. Maybe it's the crown jewel in Victor Wembanyama at the very, very top of the draft. Maybe it's Scoot Henderson. Who knows? But after this season, they no longer own their own draft capital. It's all, unfortunately, sitting with Ryland Stiles over there, host of Locked On Thunder, and GM Sam Presti for that organization. So because of that, that's when their clock starts ticking. That's when they want to start being good again because they have zero incentive to be bad. So if you're a Houston Rockets fan, you're looking at this offseason as being the offseason when you want to see the Rockets start making some moves and kind of digging their way out of the basement, if you will. I guess you're not going to dig your way out of the basement. Climbing up out of the basement, taking the stairs up to the first floor, hopefully, maybe. But
climb down into the crevasse, Jackson.
But that's the timeline for the Rockets. And the way you do that is you have smart financial decisions as a team. You clear your cap book. You have a lot of young, attractive talent on the team that you hope starts taking some steps forward and showcasing some of that talent to be kind of attractive around the league, where you're like, oh, well, Jalen Green, the young budding superstar in Houston, looks really good. I wonder what it would be like to maybe go team up with him in Houston. That's how you maybe attract a marquee free agent. You can only do that, though, if you have the salary cap room to be able to play with. And the Rockets are poised to have enough salary cap opening this next offseason to have two max contract slots this next summer.
How many players do you think you have right now that are legit pieces?
How many legit pieces
do you think you have?
Legit pieces in Houston 2 years in, three. There are three legitimate pieces in Houston. It's Jalen Green, who is at least further down the line, he's going to be at some point going to lead the NBA in scoring for sure. So there's Jalen Green. Jabari Smith Jr. is going to be a transformational piece for this Houston Rockets team. He is going to be a transcendent NBA defender competing for DPOY awards year in, year out, further down the line in his career. And then lastly, this is the sleeper pick, Tari Eason, who was just drafted 17th overall. He is going to be the future starting small forward for this Houston Rockets team. He's probably going to be brought along a little bit more slowly during his rookie campaign, but those are three bona fide guaranteed pieces who will be here the next time the Houston Rockets are competitive.
You didn't count Sengun in that?
I did not.
Interesting. David Locke, what's
Ryland Stiles, how many pieces do you have?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Just going around the table now. I like it.
I want to know. I think, I'm new to the party. You know, I got to learn how this works, supposedly. So the Rockets are 2 years in. They have three pieces, one of which has played an NBA game. Ryland Stiles, are 3 years in. How many pieces do you have?
Two years in. They played the Rockets in the playoffs, whenever the Rockets were in the bubble. But that always gets forgotten because they made the Paul George trade before that. Anyway, Josh Giddey, SGA, Chet Holmgren, I think, are three bona fide pieces. Personally, I'm counting Jalen Williams as a piece, the Santa Clara Jalen Williams that they drafted in the lottery this year. I think he's a really good NBA player. And if you define a sixth man as a piece, I think that Trey Mann's a nice sixth man scoring guard. So if you count him, go up that total. But if not, I understand. So I would count.
Just interested in, like, the dirty little secret that nobody wants to talk about Josh Giddey. He shot 26% from three last year.
The Thunder also hired Chip England, the best shooting coach in the league.
Oh, they better have, because the amount of players that have shot 28% or less from three in the NBA as a guard that ever shot ever again in the league is like zero. Hey, like guys that in the early stage of their career, Justice Winslow, Larry Hughes, Rajon Rondo, Alfred Payton, Russell Westbrook, John Wall, Rodney Stuckey, Marcus Smart, Josh Okogie, Jason Kidd did it when he was 21. DeMar DeRozan when he was 22.
I'm hearing some all-stars on this list.
There's some good players on that list.
There's some good players. No, I'm not saying you can't be a good player.
Hold on, David.
You don't learn how to – you don't shoot 26% and become a shooter.
Jason Kidd did on your example. And he didn't have the best – and he didn't have the best shooting coach in the league.
Jason Kidd did like 17 years later.
But if Chip can transform Kawhi into the shooter that he is now in his career, why can't he do the same to Josh Giddey?
And Josh Giddey's an elite playmaker at the age of 19.
Josh Giddey's terrific. The 26% from three is a problem.
Oh, right. But, you know, the Thunder are taking a step to try to correct that. That's really all they can do at this point right now, just to see if it can be corrected.
Okay. I mean, I just think it's a big, it's a big deal that either you're – I mean, Josh Giddey at this point has to be your primary ball handler because his spacing's a problem as a guard.
Right. And Shea played off ball whenever the team had actual success. Yeah.
No, I think Shea's terrific. All right. No, Philip, what do you got?
Yeah. To David's larger point, I mean, I think that's something that all the teams in this group, you know, have to kind of think about is like, who are the guys that are actually going to be there when the team's successful? Because, you know, obviously, like, Orlando was a 22 win team last year. They did end up bringing everyone back this season, but it's very, very, it would be very, very weird and very, very odd and very, very rare and miraculous if this whole team intact makes the playoffs, wins a championship, you know, the way it is. This isn't college. It's not how this works. Yes, you know, you do have to kind of pinpoint two or three players. I think Orlando has three guys that will probably be part of this team when they are competitive again. They are Paolo Banchero, obviously the number one pick in the draft. Franz Wagner, who everyone seems to have forgotten, was all rookie first team last year. Sorry, Ryland, and deserved it. Also sorry, Ryland. Not that Josh Giddey's bad. I love Josh Giddey, but Franz Wagner was very, very good. Had a really good Eurobasket, and we're all very excited about him. And then I'd put Wendell Carter in that group as well. He's just a really solid defensive center. I think there are maybe some questions whether he can be a championship level center, but for his age and his skill level, he finally figured some things out after a rough time in Chicago. I am leaving Jalen Suggs out. I think he would be part of your group there, David. He shot, I think, 28, 29% from three last year. Was really, really rough. And that's why he's no longer part of the core and is probably seen as more of a defensive specialist in Orlando now.
He shot 36% from the field and 21% from three.
How many pieces do you think you have, David?
Probably zero. Well, yeah, probably zero. But I'm not sure we're underway yet. It depends what you think of Larry Markkanen. Like, I think they might be doing it with a little bit older players. Sexton. And Larry Markkanen is a rotation NBA player who I think very easily could be part of whatever your future is. The Jazz are just at an interesting stage, depending where they are with this, because they're probably two or three moves away from being bad enough to go get really good draft picks. On the other end, they do have like this collection of players that are 24 years old or younger. So who've actually scored in the, you know, who've actually more so than the group that you've talked about have warts, that are NBA established warts. So Colin Sexton has some warts left over. Larry Markin has, but they also have actually played. Sexton's a top 10 pick. Markkinen's a top 10 pick. And so you have some pieces there. We'll see whether Abaji, who was what, the 14th pick of the draft, can play. Early reports of all crazy things on Walker Kessler is that the block shot numbers of college are actually legitimate to the NBA, surprisingly. So we'll see, David, whether or not that turns into something.
So David, I mean, I think this is the interesting perspective that I think this that you bring to this group. Kind of something that I've surmised might happen this season, because this season seems like it has a really good draft class. You know, we talk Victor Wembanyama, we talk Scoot Henderson. I don't think like Houston, Oklahoma City, Orlando, like we're all a couple years into a rebuild. They'll be bad because they're a bad team. I think the team that's going to probably end up having the worst record in the league or be the team that, you know, out and out tanks or does what people think is tanking is a team that thinks today that they are a for sure play-in team, but gets off to a bad start or gets to like the midpoint of the season or gets to January and they're not where they want to be. And they decide then to pack it in.
You mean when Portland trades Damian Lillard for Russell?
Yeah. It's something like that. To you, David, what is that point of pain for the Jazz? At what point does you get a look at these kind of young veteran players that could put Utah in a playing position, but at what point do you look at them and say, this isn't it. We need to turn face and sink to the bottom.
Yeah. I really don't know. And I'll be honest that on the Jazz end of things, like it's kind of a joke amongst us. Like the national media has said, we're tanking. Okay. Like I'll buy it. I don't know. I honestly don't know. What I do know is that Minnesota made such an incredible offer for Rudy Gobert that you had no choice but to say yes. And then I think there was a chance that the Jazz went to Donovan Mitchell and said, hey, we're going to build around you. And he went, okay, we'll see. And they went, oh, wait a sec. Well, we can't really build around you unless we know you're going to stick around. And then there is this whole complication with how hard it is to give out an extension right now. And they made another move. And so I'm not entirely sure that this is a Danny Ainge 8 moves ahead of everybody else playing chess master plan right now. But moreover, it might just be something that's kind of developed and we'll see what happens. My point on asking everybody this question is back to our first question. This is so hard. That was my point. Like not trying to criticize where anybody is. It's so hard. Houston's 2 years in and like, Jackson might be 100% right, but like two of the guys you mentioned haven't played a minute. At this point last year, we would have thought Jalen Suggs was one of those guys, and he bombed. Ryland, to your point, you mentioned Chet Holmgren. He hasn't played, and if there's one concern on Chet Holmgren is that he's fragile, and that's not a great sign to start. And Josh Giddey, who I think is a fabulously beautiful basketball player, has a major like issue, but we don't know those about these other guys yet. And that – I'm taking Orlando out of this group. Like I want Banchero and Franz Wagner on my group. And I would have traded for Donovan Mitchell with Jalen Suggs and a buttload of picks and had that be my three moving forward. But maybe Banchero's not, you know, we'll see. I just think it's crazy hard. And so a little bit of where the Jazz are in this is, and I'm not entirely sure what they're doing, is it is so darn crazy hard that maybe you do get Colin Sexton and you do get Lowry Markkinen and you do go get whether Abaji and you actually start that way with a bunch of other people's picks along the way and you build that way out. I don't know. We'll see. It seems more logical from what the process has said to us is that you should go all the way to bottom five and we're watching Houston and we're watching Oklahoma City do it. It's not foolproof and it's really hard.
It doesn't always have to be that way, too. As you alluded to, one of the worst trades in the history of the NBA when the Oklahoma City Thunder traded James Harden to the Houston Rockets 10 years ago. And the Rockets never bottomed out. Under old owner Leslie Alexander, the Rockets remained a competitive team. They were kind of in that NBA limbo area where you don't want to be, but they weren't allowed to bottom out for all those years. And so the in-between era from the Tracy McGrady, Yao Ming era of Houston Rockets to what became the James Harden era of Houston Rockets, they were kind of that ragtag, scrappy, maybe they'll make the playoffs, maybe they won't, but they'll be fun to root for. And then they pounced. They had an upset. Well, they had an opportunity opportunity, and it wound up being the opportunity of a lifetime, getting a perennial MVP for what wound up being a pretty terrible trade package.
Hey, you know, the one that's interesting is that Detroit's not here, because I think Detroit's super interesting. Detroit kind of fell apart in the middle of the year. Remember Blake Griffin's knees just fall apart on him in the year. So they actually have like a tank year they didn't intend. Then they did it for 2 years and they get Cade Cunningham with the number one pick. We'll see how good Ivy is. We'll see how good Durant. They just added Bogdanovich. Like, they're going to touch close to a playing game, and they got a ton of free agent money in the offseason. We'll see if they can sign someone. Like, they might actually be the model. And I think the other one that's worth talking about on this is Cleveland might be the model. Cleveland fully tanked, and they got Sexton, Garland, and Mobley. They then traded out of it to end up with Jared Allen, part of the trade. And then now they just pounced on trying to do what you're talking about, Jackson, going to get Donovan Mitchell. Like, I think that Detroit and Cleveland to me are super interesting in this conversation.
Well, I think what the larger point is, I mean, this is the NBA. Like, there's no league that is more star driven and personnel driven. And one player really does transform everything. Like, Paolo Banchero could be, you know, you're right, David. Paolo Banchero could be that guy, could be the guy that, you know, averages 20 points per game and really is the kind of director and leader of an offensive team and shoots the Magic into a different stratosphere, shoots the team into another level. I mean, that's really what it takes. You know, we were joking a little bit about it with Ryland about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but there's something to that. He's good enough that he's going to win the Thunder an extra 4-5, you know, maybe 6-7 games that Oklahoma City at some point doesn't want to win. But when they're ready to, they'll deploy him and they'll win those games. One player really does change everything. And you know, I think, you know, you look at the teams that are perpetually at the bottom of the standings, used to be Minnesota, you know, Sacramento, Orlando, you know, right. Orlando, Oklahoma City, Houston been there for a little bit. Detroit's been there for a little bit. Those guys, those teams are just waiting for that one guy to take them to the next level. And once you find him, you rise pretty quickly.
That seems to be the game for everybody in this group, as well as Jeff Garcia and Locked On Spurs. You can check out his show,
by the way,
5 days a week. They're the team.
They got zero.
I was going to say,
they're the team. Just collectively just bag on Jeff for not being here. They got zero pieces.
Tanking so hard, he didn't show up for the pro basketball preview.
All right. Who's got the – let me ask you this. Does anybody believe that anyone other than Banchero is the best player on any of our rosters in 5 years?
Shai?
Shai's still under contract in 5 years, but let's
see. Jalen Green will be the best player. He's got superstar written all over him.
He screams Bradley Beal to me.
I'm still sticking with Paolo.
Bradley Beal.
No, there's nothing about Jalen Green and Bradley Beal that are the same.
Oh, the same like level of player to me.
Well, like, no. Not shooting.
They both play in the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, one of them's got the sweetest shot in the world, and Jalen Green's shot is not beautiful.
He shot 36%.
You guys both disagreed with my Bradley Beal comparison in the opposite directions.
But I mean, like, we can give him 36%. Aesthetically, fundamentally, that is not a pretty shot. He's crazy fast. He's lightning fast. He's got super explosion. He's got all sorts of things that are good. But if we're going to, like, start bragging about Jalen Green's shot, we have seriously lost our mind in the midst of this tank.
We're not going to brag about the shot, but it's okay. I'm going to stake my claim now, and we'll dig up the receipts 5 years from now when Jalen Green is competing for MVP awards and the Jazz are still tanking. It's going to be great.
Wow. There you go. We will dig this up in 5 years. Remind us. Keep the receipts. Bookmark it wherever you can. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Roundtable for the Odyssey Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022.
Jalen Green shot 34%.
And one more time, let's hear from the voice of NBA draft coverage, Rafael Barlow, on the missing piece for the remaining tanking teams.
What's up, Rafael Barlow from the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast. Let's talk about the Utah Jazz and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, Utah, they basically gutted their roster after trading All-Stars Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert this offseason. The Jazz now have potentially 15 first-round picks between now and 2029. Yes, you heard that correct. 15 first round picks from 2023 to 2029. And with that type of draft capital, Utah can swing for the fences for the best long-term prospect if they miss out on Victor Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson. Now, Jazz fans, they appreciate elite rim protectors probably more than
any other fan base. I mean, they've had the luxury of watching Mark Eaton and most recently Rudy Gobert redirect opponent shots at the rim 3 to 5 times every night. Now, Victor Wembanyama, he's drawn comparisons to Rudy Gobert on the defensive end, but he is considerably more gifted on the offensive end of the floor. He's even drawn some comparisons to, like, Kevin Durant. It's crazy as that sounds. He's 7'5". He's a rim protector, and some people are saying he is a mashup of Rudy Gobert and Kevin Durant. I'm sure Jazz fans would love Wembanyama, and he has some comparisons to Gobert off the court. Both are from France, and they even share the same agent. Now, Scoot Henderson, who is projected to be the second pick, would be the perfect replacement for Mike Conley, who just turned 35 years old this week. But if the Jazz miss out on Wimby and Scoot, my top choice would be one or both of the Thompson twins. Amen and Asar Thompson are phenomenal athletes that can defend and also distribute the ball. With all of their future picks, they have the flexibility to possibly have 2 top 10 picks. Utah currently has 3 first-round picks in a deep class. And if there's one front office executive that can move up to acquire another lottery pick, it's Danny Ainge, who happens to be running the Utah Jazz. Utah is expected to have a long rebuilding process, similar to the Oklahoma City Thunder, who surprisingly, for some reason it seems much longer, the Thunder are only on year 3 of their version of the process, and we saw how the process went in Philly. But the Thunder have a cornerstone in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and look to have a future All-Star in Josh Giddey. Unfortunately for OKC, Chet Holmgren, who was selected 2nd overall this past June, is out for the season with a foot injury. But it may not be all that bad for Thunder fans, because redshirting Chet gives him a year to get stronger and have a season been around NBA basketball under his belt before his official rookie campaign. But here's why it also helps. Because the more games they lose, it helps the Thunder in the Wimby and Scoot sweepstakes. The Thunder seem to have their big three in SGA, Giddey, and Chet, and a couple other promising pieces to their rebuilding puzzle in Jalen Williams and Usman Jang, who were just drafted in June. In my opinion, the biggest need for the Thunder right now is that center. And Oregon's Khalil Ware would be a perfect complement to their young roster. He'd also bring additional rebounding, shot blocking, and athleticism to one of the most promising teams in the NBA. Now, I think Chet is a 4. That's why I have Ware as a 5. I think he would be just an ideal complementary fit. Ware has also shown flashes of being able to space the floor and could be a good option if the Thunder fail to land the number 1 pick in the 2023 NBA draft.
Up next, it's nothing but bet. How do you make money off of tanking teams? Matt Moore of Locked On NBA and the Action Network will tell you how. Next.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Continuing on the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022 presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. We're joined by Matt Moore of the Action Network for Nothing But Bet. We're talking about all kinds of bets surrounding the tankers, the teams at the bottom, the be bad for Victor Wembanyama teams. Have we come up with a saying? Have we come up with like a cute like Riggin for Wiggins saying yet for like for Wembanyama yet?
Whoa for Wembanyama? When?
Wassail, wassail for Wembanyama. There's gotta be some kind of French word for it. Let's start with the Orlando Magic. 27 is their win total over under this year. Matt Moore, what's the bet on the Orlando Magic?
Paolo Banchero +180, rookie of the year. Go ahead.
Easy.
I mean, look, this is boring and nobody wants to bet it, right? Who wants to bet the favorite for rookie of the year?
The overwhelming favorite.
I've seen what I need from him. He showed up at Summer League and he looked huge. Like he looked like a tank. That matters a lot because that's going to help with your endurance. It's going to help with your consistency. And we've seen it in preseason too. They're using him as a primary initiator on ball. The guys that win rookie of the year, they're almost always the leaders in points, rebounds, and assists. Banchero is very likely to be the PRA that's combined leader amongst rookies. He's going to play a ton of minutes. He's going to have the ball in his hands, especially with Markelle Fultz out. I think Banchero is still at plus 180. This was 250, 400 when it first came out. There's better value early in the summer. But if you're getting into the market now, plus 180, I still think this is good to plus 125. I think any plus number you're getting, I still think there's value on Banchero with the option. If somebody pops out early in the season, you can start hedging at longer numbers. The rookie of the year markets are often slow to catch up. Real quick on the Magic, love the over. It was a max bet before the Markelle Fultz injury. He should be back in pretty short time. I actually really like this team. They were actually 18th in defensive rating last year, which most people are like, what? And teams that were bottom five in offensive rating tend to go over the following season in the past 10 years at about a 58% clip. Those teams are the ones that make the leap. It's the bad defensive teams that can't get out of the muck. The defense was surprisingly decent. I'm high on Wendell Carter Jr. I'm very high on Franz Wagner after his Eurobasket showed that he's actually improved in a lot of key areas. He was great last season. The depth isn't good. They're still going to be bad, but at a low number, still like the value on the over on the Magic combined with Paolo Banchero to win Rookie of the Year.
And no one knows where we stand on Jonathan Isaac at this point. I mean, he knows where, but nobody else knows. The Utah Jazz, 24.5 is their over under. They have dudes, like they have players. David Locke on this program came on and just tried to convince all of us that they're going to be a play-in team this year. That would not be a 24-win team. Matt Moore, what are the Utah Jazz and what's the best bet for them?
Stay away. If you can tell me, if somebody came from the future and was just like, I will tell you nothing else, but that the Utah Jazz will have the same roster in April, I'd be like, that's what you came back in time to tell me. Of all things you could share with me, that's what you told me.
It's David. It's David Locke in a wizard's robe.
What an image. So if you told me that, I'd be like, all right, let's bet the over. Let's hammer the over. Mike Conley, Colin Sexton, Lauri Markkanen, Jared Vanderbilt. I like some of their young dudes. Udoka Azubuike, like that's a guy no one knows. Really liked his minutes last year. Will Hardy's very well respected, and these new coaches in low expectation spots are that's a buy low opportunity. Every indication from everybody is like they're definitely going to pivot, and they're definitely going to absolutely swing towards the draft. And if that's the case, you can't bet the under here, because if you're like, they'll do whatever it takes. Again, I'll just stress to you, here's a good example. In Popovich's first season with San Antonio, 97, try and get Duncan, they still won 20 games. Go back and look at that roster and who he was playing. And they still won 20 games.
It's hard.
Now, the league wasn't as deep then as it is now, so there's better teams. But I do think you have to be a little bit concerned about what your margin is there. If the Jazz win 24 games, are they the 3 spot in the lottery and still have the same odds for number 1? It's possible. So for me, I've done the research. At least in the last 10 years, these numbers below 24 don't have as much of a value on the under as you'd think. Like my assumption going in was, oh, this has got to be like a very good under spot because the bad teams know they're bad and will still tank. And the reality is that's just not, it's pretty even. There's no value to the over or the under. I lean slight over, but I can't bet it because I can't trust the Jazz not to hold a fire sale.
It's coming at some point. We just don't know when it is. It's probably the trade deadline. The Houston Rockets over under is 23.5. You just talked about how these really low win totals don't necessarily have the values. There's value somewhere else for the Rockets.
I have a long history with Rockets fans, so I can only really take the over here, Nick.
So I'll tell you this, star.
This number opened way higher. This number opened like 27.5 at some spots, and I was late to it, but my colleagues definitely bet the under, and I think that was a good bet. At this number, I do lean over. I did a whole tape review on the Rockets because they're one of those teams that's hard to keep track of when they start, you know, really positioning for the draft late in the year. So I did a whole deep dive. Better than I thought. You know, Kevin Porter Jr., who I'm not necessarily a big fan of, a little bit more creation, tremendous spot-up shooter, 99th percentile on pure spot-up catch and shoot. He is a lethal catch and shoot guy. Just don't let him dribble. Jalen Green.
Their point guard? You don't let their point guard dribble? Yeah.
Jalen Green, surprisingly good playmaker. Like, he's got some real chops there. A weird one, Alperen Şengün. I know this sounds insane, Nick. I know it does. If you play switch scheme with him and put him on guards, he'll have 0.88 points per possession on a really decent number of attempts.
Wow.
When he plays drop, he's awful because he's a twig and people slam into him and he goes flying. But if you put him in up coverage and you let him use his hands and quickness, surprisingly really good. Jayshon Tate, the numbers with him and Sengun together defensively, little bit promising. Jabari Smith, look, I thought he needed better guards, but if Jalen Green makes a little bit of a leap, maybe that combination works. I think there's a little bit of value to the over. Okay. My buy point would be if this guy ain't lower, but it won't because the other teams are at this range that are looking for the draft. I can't buy it here. If this guy's a 26.5 and there's like a late rush of money to get us to 23 wins up, which is not going to happen, then I'd still be like, yeah, probably an under, a soft underplay. But at 23.5, I do think this is an overplay. If you want to take an alternate, bet them to make the play-in tournament. You can find that in various spots. I think that there's probably some value there. And that may sound crazy. Here's the X factor. Steven Silas needs to win, because if he does not, there's a very good chance he will not have this same job. So I think they're motivated to try and win now. The chemistry seems good. The vibes seem good. I think there's a lean to the over. I'm just not excited to bet it.
A team that is not necessarily motivated to win at this point, the Oklahoma City Thunder, same over-under, 23.5. Chet Holmgren will not play this year. SGA will play a certain number of games this year, but what's the play for the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Before the Chet injury, it was probably going to be an over. The number was high, but it was still probably going to be an over, because if you watch this team night to night, even, and this sounds crazy because he lost by 70 last year, but if you watch this team night to night, you're just like, oh, this team knows how to, like, if you watch certain teams, like go watch the bottom three teams in the lottery last year and then watch the Thunder, right? Like the other two teams. If you watch the Thunder, you're like, oh, the Thunder know what they're doing.
They're tough, like, out. Yeah.
They're well coached. They're disciplined. They buy. It's a top down thing in Oklahoma City. They instill professionalism. They're like, we're going to lose, but we're going to lose professionally. And what's more professionally losing than losing by 70?
Just once. It was just once, though.
Yeah, it was just once. If you want the value here, talk about a long shot. Okay. Again, small play. We're talking about like a half unit play for me. Half unit play for me on Jalen Williams, rookie of the year.
Which one?
The kid from Santa Clara.
Yeah.
AALEN. 40-1. Okay. Looks phenomenal. Looks like a beast. He was the guy they knew they were getting Chet. The Thunder were most excited when Jalen Williams was still there on draft night, Santa Clara Jalen. Getting lots of run, gonna get lots of minutes, got some help. Like, there's dudes on the roster. Josh Giddey's pretty good. Shea can come back. I genuinely think that there's a little bit of value on Jalen Williams to put up numbers and maybe make a run at rookie of the year as a long shot option if you're looking for it. The total, I think you gotta stay away. I don't know that the Thunder are as motivated to position for the draft. If they get to the last 20 games and they're at 18, then sure, they're gonna make sure they get the number one pick or the number one spot in the lottery, rather. But with the odds being flattened and they're still so high on Chet, like, Chet was their guy from November of last year through the draft. That was their guy. And I was wrong on that, by the way. I legitimately bet against that outcome and then found out later. They're like, oh, yeah, we love Chet since November. And I was like, oh, something that could have been brought to my attention yesterday. I think that there's probably not a lot of value betting the over or under here. If they're within range, what's better than Chet Holmgren? Chet Holmgren and Victor Wembanyama. Like, that's the answer of what's better. But I do think that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Josh Giddey, and the youngsters is good enough to get them to 25 wins if they're not actively pursuing positioning. So I can't get to any value here beyond taking a long shot on Jalen Williams, rookie of the year.
Speaking of no value, the San Antonio Spurs may not have a lot of watchability value this year for a lot of people, but 22.5, they're the very bottom on this list, the lowest win total over under. Is there any value in the under on the lowest over under on the whole list?
When Greg Popovich comes out of media day and says, leans into the microphone and says, no one should go to Vegas and bet on this team to win a championship. Like, this is what I love. The Spurs are not subtle. Like, there is nothing subtle about San Antonio. San Antonio is like, oh, yeah, we're so excited about the young guy. Yeah, we really think we can make some noise this year. They're like, nope. I will also say, like, last year, it was really surprising to me. There was a lot of talk that their front office and their organization was ready to pivot towards draft positioning. The players came and said, we want to try and make the play-in. Like, this is important to us. We actually want to compete for the playoffs. And they're like, okay. They respected the players' wishes and played it out and made the play-in. And then they traded everyone.
They traded them.
And they traded everyone, which are like, you guys can go pursue those dreams on other teams. You know, look, there's a lot of belief around the league that Jakob Poeltl is probably going to get moved before the deadline. That may be at the deadline, but before the deadline, there's a lot of confidence, especially with centers and how it's just scarce to try and find a quality center, especially a backup one in the NBA. So Poeltl can get moved. I actually like Trey Jones a lot. I looked up, like, his numbers in pick and roll are exceptional. His floater is one of the best in the league, which I was not expecting to find anything in the Spurs to be among the best in the league at anything. Devin Vassell, a lot of upside there. Keldon Johnson. Okay. If you're just like, I don't believe it, I think Popovich is going to gamify this team and they're going to find a way to get to like 35 wins and make the play-in tournament. Okay. Then Keldon Johnson is a long shot most improved candidate. A little bit of value. I sprinkled on it. I don't honestly believe we're going to get there because honestly, it usually goes to guys like John Morant a la Zion Williamson this year. Like, those are the guys that are winning it recently. But Keldon Johnson's numbers are superb. Like, he's really good and he's going to be a breakout star on San Antonio. This team isn't as bereft of talent as I thought it was. That does not mean it's not bereft of talent. It is. They are in the desert for sure on purpose. And I don't know what links Popovich will go to find that, but this is also a team that has a well-established G League team that I used to cover in person. That was my first beat, was covering the Spurs G League team. They have lots of guys they can find to help them fill minutes and lose games. So if you want to bet the under, I can't blame you. I don't want to get involved because I don't know what number they need to get to secure a top three pick. But if you want to bet a little bit on the under, it's probably under or nothing on San Antonio.
That is Olympic gold medalist to you, Keldon Johnson, yep. By the way, for most improved. You can find Matt Moore on the Action Network, as well as on Locked On NBA and Locked On Nuggets. Matt, thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022, presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. Don't forget, this is a 6-episode series, so we may be done here, but if you missed the rest of the special, then go back and listen to those if this was your first listen. Once again, I'm Nick Engstedt, and until next time, thank you to all of our friends at Odyssey and to you for listening and watching. Keep up with all of our collaborations by subscribing to the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022 feed, which will rotate for the most comprehensive specials available across multiple sports, NFL, college, MLB, and more, bringing you previews, mock drafts, and more with the in-depth analysis only Odyssey and Locked On can bring. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or your favorite podcast provider to make sure you don't miss an episode.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.